Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin. Into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Drew Butler. He is at Fromm Jake, puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. All right, Jake, week three in the books. We're rocking and rolling through the college football season. Tons to get to. Some crazy finishes, some surprising outcomes, and of course, news and notes that continue to make our head spin. We'll get all into it right here, but it is Sunday afternoon. The NFL is on, and I swindled you into doing this at this specific time, so I appreciate you. How are you, brother?
Yeah, man, doing good. That's college football. You know, some hypes you up, some just breaks your heart, but that's what we love about it. We keep on going and love the game.
No doubt. So I'm actually in Boston, Massachusetts right now. I'm at Sean McDonough's charity fundraiser event. Sean McDonough, ESPN, called the Georgia game yesterday with Todd Blackledge. And I just saw him earlier and he looked at me and he goes, Georgia is not messing around this year. And I'm like, no, they're not. We will get into that. But a seriously impressive performance by the Dogs in Columbia yesterday. We'll touch on that and a couple of other outcomes across college football and the SEC. This episode of Punt and Pass, though, is presented by Solomon Brothers Jewelers. That's right, at Solomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter, solomonbrothers.com. If you mention Punt and Pass or Jake Fromm or myself, you get 10% off your jewelry purchase. And what will you get? You'll get the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. It is simply the best. The lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. And I have to tell you, I'm wearing mine right now. They've got an unbelievable watch selection for guys and girls alike. So if you have a jewelry need for your better half, head on into Solomon Brothers. They'll probably have something in there for you too. Family owned and operated since 1982. That's over 35 years. And they have two awesome locations, one in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon, the other in Buckhead, 17th floor, Tower Place. It's the best. If you went on a Sunday, you could watch NFL games inside the showroom. You could get a cocktail or a cold beer. You could let your wife have a lot of fun, or your girlfriend, or your special other half. And then you could even get a sweet timepiece like I have on right here. Jake and I are headed there with our better halves here in a couple of weeks. We cannot wait. They have the biggest selection, the best quality, the lowest prices, and an in-store experience that I just told you about. It's totally unmatched. At Solomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter, SolomonBrothers.com, mention Punt and Pass. They are the best. So shout out to Solomon Brothers. Yeah, Jake, just talked about it. I was chatting it up with McDonough. He got back this morning from Columbia, and he was like, dude, they absolutely smoked South Carolina. It was truly an impressive deal. We'll touch on that. I want to touch on the App State finish, though. Let's go.
Yeah.
Three and out, first down, some of these wild finishes. The Hail Mary with no time left.
Wow.
College game day there in Boone. Pretty special. Have you ever had a Hail Mary in college, in high school, or in any other level of football? Because that was pretty awesome.
So I personally have never been on the field for one. I don't even think I ever really hit one at practice. I mean, just because the success percentage on those is just so incredibly low. However, I was a part of the Buffalo Bills when Kyler Murray hit that one against us.
Oh, that's right.
The D-hop pick where he's wearing Jordan and the Adidas glove and the Under Armour glove, all that stuff. Yeah. So I was there for that one. We went down and scored. We're like, man, they have seconds left. There's no way they do anything. They throw that one up. So just to reiterate, the Hail Marys hurt for the opposing team, and they are just unbelievable for the team who hits them. So what a crazy finish. I know that place was rocking. What game day there and everything. That was nuts. Yeah.
I mean, totally nuts.
What a cool weekend for those folks up there.
No doubt. Do you know Chase Bryce at all? Are you guys a similar age?
Yeah. So Chase Bryce, me and him were coming App State's out of high school.
Yep.
Coming out of high school at the same time with all the same camps. End up running into his mom a couple weeks ago.
Really?
In the same Bible study. We're like, hey, I'm Chase Bryce's mom. We moved here after he got done at Grayson, yada, yada. Just awesome. The world is so much smaller than you think. And, you know, that's awesome for him up there because he's been hopping around and just excited for him to have some success up there.
Yeah, I think App State is one of the most likable teams in all of college football. I mean, if you don't like
I would completely agree. Yeah.
You have a huge dump in your pants. Like what they're doing, Sunbelt, Boone, North Carolina, the vibe, Eric Church, Luke Combs.
All of it.
It's just so cool. And it was awesome to see game day there. So shout out to App State. Keep rocking and rolling. It looked pretty dire there when they were down to Troy after, of course, beating Texas A&M a week ago. But they're still rocking and rolling, and I would expect them to. I haven't even checked the top 25 yet. I know it just came out, but I'm sure they're in the top 25. They got to be in there. Keep doing what they're doing. You see what happens towards the end of the game. The radio calls, the TV calls, it was awesome. Like that is what college football is all about. So shout out to App State. We'll see how they continue to rock and roll throughout the rest of the season, but I would expect them to keep it up at a high level, especially with a great quarterback like Chase Bryce at the helm. Auburn got blasted. I did not expect that. That was what I was referring to
with the heartbreaker. It was just gross, man. It's just bad football on offense from Auburn, in my opinion. Just turnovers. Just didn't look good, you know. It was just rough, hurtful to watch. And they got their butts kicked at home in front of a big team, big crowd, big atmosphere. It's not what you want. So maybe they'll fix it.
I was so disappointed they did not wear the orange jerseys. How do you tease that much stuff? And then it's a letdown, like a letdown for everybody. Oh, yeah. Just do it at that point.
Why not? Because you got your pants beat in anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it was completely unbelievable. Brian Harsin, I think, now has his feet completely to the fire. Keep in mind, their AD just stepped down. So from an administrative level at Auburn, it's a mess. And I think everybody is kind of walking on eggshells. You got to win some football games. I said it when they fired Gus Malzahn. I'm like, hold on a second. This guy was almost 500 against Nick Saban. What else are you expecting? Anybody could have had success at Boise State. Brian Harsin, of course, did. I don't know.
With you saying that, I cannot let this opportunity slip. This is the same situation as the Mark Richt situation. Winning games, everything's okay. It may not be as great as you want it to be, but things are good. You're winning football games. There's nothing wrong with going 9-3, 10-2, winning a good bowl, always having a shot, having a chance. But Georgia, thankful. Huge blessing of our program, and it got better. So it can get much worse for sure.
That has been a theme of some of our conversations around college football, coaching hires, coaching fires. Like, be careful what you wish for and be careful what move you're making. I think Auburn, you know, I hope they get it right. They had a slower start to the season last year and finished off pretty strong. But TJ Finley, if you turn the ball over like that, you're not going to beat anybody, simply put.
No.
You're not going to beat anybody. Florida escapes South Florida. Remember Florida, the team that beat Utah, a top 10 team in week one, and everybody said they're going to have an awesome year. Heisman winner, coach of the year. I don't know if you saw that end of game kick, Jake, but the holder bobbled the snap. And I thought the kicker did a phenomenal job of actually like getting it off the ground and giving
it had a chance. Yeah. I had, you know, there was three plays from that game, the pick six, the bad snap that put them all the way back there. And then obviously the botched hold. Any of those three plays, just one of them didn't happen. Florida loses that football game, in my opinion.
Yeah. To South Florida. Like, keep in mind,
South Florida kicked their tail the entire game.
I know.
So
Florida's lost. Yeah. And again, I said that was a massive overreaction in week one. Granted, it was a good victory for them.
They should have won that game. They drank the Kool-Aid hard after the first week. They drank their own Kool-Aid big time.
No doubt. And then the other, I think, really surprising, maybe not surprising, but definitive outcome, Ole Miss blasting Georgia Tech 42-0 on the flats. I think this is signaling the end for Jeff Collins. Georgia Tech in Atlanta, a recruiting hotbed. The ACC, which is relatively ripe for the taking at the moment, Jake, I think it's a great opportunity for Tech and the leadership there to kind of look inward and say, where do we want to go with this? What is the decision that we make next? Yeah. And I said it out loud and I tweeted it yesterday, like, call Deion Sanders. Simply put, call Deion Sanders, call Coach Prime. The guy played for the Falcons. The guy played for the Braves. He can recruit his tail off. He just took Travis Hunter from Collins Hill and brought him to Jackson State, the number one overall recruit in the country. Like, with the right support, bring Deion Sanders the opportunity to get into the Power Five, get into the ACC. Jake, he makes $300,000 a year. Not that it really matters for him at Jackson State. I think that could be a compelling move.
Completely agree. I think Atlanta is such a unique beast and what he would bring to Atlanta, the branding, the vibe, the hype. I think he would be the guy to turn it around there. And speaking on Jeff Collins a little bit, it to go from a wing tee to what they want to do offensively, it was just going to take time. Tech has given him time. They should start seeing a little bit of change in turnover, but to go from a wing tee and to start throwing the football around when you don't have a recruit or quarterback to do so, I mean, that's tough. So
that's good perspective. I mean, he might have been the sacrificial lamb. Like, you have to have those three or four recruiting classes. You have to have
that transition period, and you have to have some recruiting classes, like you said, because there's teams all over throughout the country who are running pro-style spreads, throwing it around, and they still miss on quarterbacks and don't have a quarterback. And for him, it's he had to hit and had to hit quick and just been tough.
So I think going back to last year, Georgia Tech, I think they lost to Notre Dame 45-0. They lost to Georgia 55-0. They got blown out by Clemson in week one. Yeah. They just lost 42-0 to Ole Miss. Like, it's the end, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And Georgia Tech's probably going to make a move, and they will have to make the decision, where do we want to go? So we'll see. And of course, we'll be reporting it right here on Punt and Pass. And when you talk about coaches that are going to be hired or schools that are going to be open, it brings us to second down, which of course is Nebraska. Nebraska will be one of the blue chip names of which a head coaching vacancy is available. And it broke over the weekend that Nebraska has, in fact, contacted none other than Urban Meyer for their head coaching vacancy. Jake, you sent it to me. I said, this is unreal. Here we go again. After all the shrapnel that this guy has taken in the public eye over the last, I don't know, 8 months, the fact that he's getting brought up for a, call it, quote unquote, premier job in Nebraska. Here's the best part, though, and I'd love to get your reaction because you're the one that texted to me yesterday. Nebraska's AD, Trev Alberts, who played football in Nebraska and played in the NFL as well, said, quote, during our search, we're going to define what our values are. What our values are. Meanwhile, we're going to talk to Urban Meyer. I think you could pretty easily define what your values are not if you were going to make that hire. I don't know. It's just crazy. This guy is a cat with nine lives.
Yeah, that's just, it's just kind of sad, honestly, to hear a little bit. Just defining what our values are and mention his name in the candidacy for this job. gosh, I mean, where do they go from here? I don't know. Do you see the Big Noon kickoff clip where all the fans are in the back and they're chanting, "We want Urban, we want Urban"? Yeah, I mean,
no, you don't.
I don't think you know what you're asking for with this, because it's going to go in there. Year one, it's going to be slightly above 500. The second year, probably be pretty decent. Third year, be okay. And then the third or fourth year, there's going to be some random weird scandal.
Yeah,
it's going to be gross. Leave a stain on the university and the football program. And he's off to go get another TV job and to just start.
Yeah, rinse and repeat. Over
again. Oh, yeah. Rinse over and over and over.
I don't know where they're going to go. I don't know what hire they're going to make, but I just do not think Urban Meyer is the right fit there. But it also proves to you that football is the ultimate meritocracy. Like, it does not matter what has happened in the past. It does not matter what kind of baggage may be coming along with you. We talked about it on last week's podcast when you made the Jerry Sandusky drop for the first time in punt and pass history. We were talking about Bobby Petrino, guys like Lane Kiffin, some other names came up, but it does not matter. If you can win football games and recruit, you will have a job that pays you $10 million or so a year. So remains to be seen where Nebraska goes. I do not think that will be the move. But of course, when it breaks on a Saturday and it makes news like it did, we'll have to cover it right here. All right, let's go to third down. That will be one that we just continue to talk about all season long, Nebraska and that fiasco. Yeah. But third down is what we open the show with. And that's Georgia's display of absolute dominance yesterday against South Carolina. Jake, I did not expect to see what they did. I knew Georgia was going to win. You and I both picked them. We laid the 24. We said Georgia's going to take care of business. Yeah. But dude, 48-0 with 1 minute left in the game.
Yeah, so I said. So in our really, it's 48-0, and I know Kirby hates it too. And I hate the garbage time 7 points.
Oh,
to put up there, I hate it. Oh, it makes me cringe.
Poor 14. What's his name? The guy, the DB who gave up the touchdown. I mean, he looked like he was about to cry. I was like, man, I feel bad for this guy.
Oh, there's so much on that guy. I know the guys. Yeah, the guys on the team are just giving him he's probably still getting. Nolan Smith probably gave him, probably FaceTimed him this morning.
No doubt.
Just the way Nolan is. But one of my buddies, we were talking about it, and he said it, and it's a great quote. He just says that it just looks like Georgia's playing a different game than everyone else.
So true.
What they're doing, the dominance, doing awesome stuff on offense, moving things around, had a few reverses, quick pass, getting Brock involved. Man, it looks good, and then the defense just picking up right where they left off.
So, Munkin, I want to ask you about that, because early on in the game, dude, he went deep into the bag of tricks. I mean, they opened up the playbook wide open, and they were doing everything they could to get 19 the ball, which I absolutely love. You see the type of player that Brock Bowers is. I mean, he legitimately should be in consideration for Heisman candidacy at this point, as same Let's with go. Stetson. But Bowers is built different. This dude, they were talking about it on the broadcast. Like, he catches like a receiver. He runs like a running back. He blocks like a tight end. He is the total package.
He had a catch. I believe it was a naked, but he had a catch as a shoestring grab where he.
Oh, yeah. One-handed behind. Yeah. Going away from himself.
You would have to see it, but that was an unbelievable catch. And then turns up field and proceeds to get some yak. And it's like, wow. That is an incredible play. The balance, the control, the awareness. Ball player, man.
So Kirby Smart's now 28-2 against the SEC East. The dominance of the division is something that really hasn't been seen in conference.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't know what Saban's record is against the SEC West, but you're talking about Auburn, LSU. You know, he's lost to Texas A&M. So I don't think it's where Kirby's is. And keep in mind, the 28 wins are not close. Kirby annihilates SEC East
teams. Yeah.
Stetson is 25 years old. Brock Bowers, Heisman candidate. It feels weird when the defense gives up a first down. Like, that's how dominant they are. When you get a first down against you, fans are like, oh, man, like, are we suck? Are we not good? It's like that at this point right now. The pace that they've set, and if they did not give up that touchdown, going 3 weeks into a season without allowing a touchdown, Jake, would have been absolutely amazing. Yeah. Now the narrative is in the media, of course, the rat poison like you and I are creating. Are these guys better than a year ago? I mean, are they better than a year ago? What they're doing right now is unbelievable. And Oregon dismantles number 12 BYU. It makes that week one victory by 46 points that much more impressive, Jake.
Are they? I don't know. I think the offense at this point is definitely better. The defense is still up for questions, but they're playing dominant. I mean, we're sitting here talking, is the defense better than they were last year? And realistically, they have not given up a touchdown in 3 weeks, except for the garbage time touchdown there at the end of that game. And we're saying, I don't know if they're better than they were last year. They haven't given up a touchdown in 3 games. What?
Malachi Starks, true freshman, baller. Keely Ringo, like, not even brought up because they just don't throw against him. Yeah. Jalen Carter in the D-line, wrecking havoc on offensive lines. It's impressive. I love the intensity that Kirby coaches with. Yeah. Glenn Schumann, like, all those guys. Jake, it's pretty special. Kent State next week, and then you start to get into the meat of the schedule. But the dogs are on a war path right now.
Let's just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And we're along for the ride.
Enjoy
it. Because stuff like this does not happen overnight. And, enjoy it. That's all I got to say.
Just enjoy it. You know what else you can enjoy? Yourself at Solomon Brothers Jewelers. There's absolutely no doubt about that. If you go visit Solomon Brothers at one of their two locations, of course, Alpharetta, just past the Avalon, and then Buckhead, 17th floor in Tower Place, you will enjoy yourself. They have the largest selection of diamonds and jewelry in the Southeast, and they have the lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. Follow them on social media at Solomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter, SolomonBrothers.com. If you mention Punt and Pass or just mention myself or Jake, you'll get 10% off your jewelry purchase. The best part about Solomon Brothers is the store is for anyone with any budget. It's the best custom jewelry design, lifetime diamond upgrades, interest-free financing options. You got to go check them out. It's awesome. And when you do check them out, tweet at us at Punt and Pass or Instagram us at Drew Butler at Jake from 11, SolomonBrothers.com. All right, let's go inside the five. We'll talk about games. I think you and I both went 3-2 last week against the spread, so we're picking up our pace. I am now 5-10 on the season. You are 7-8, so doing just fine through three weeks. We discussed the Georgia schlacking of South Carolina, 48-7, due to the scenes of the student section being completely empty in the third quarter. I saw a great meme. I would love to get your thoughts on this as a quarterback. Fourth down, a pretty pivotal fourth down in the first half. If South Carolina had any chance to continue staying in the game and like the entire student body was on the field, and they had to call timeout. They showed their formation. The officials had to wave everything off because I guess there was some recognition during a timeout. And it looked like an entire sorority was on the field.
What?
I don't know if you saw this.
I missed this. Yeah.
It was like 4th and 8 around midfield. And then they went up going for it. And Georgia had it sniffed out. It wasn't even close. I saw a meme that said South Carolina tried to run the annexation of Alpha Chi Omega. I was like, that's pretty funny. That was pretty good one. But that was in the first half. It was interesting. A couple of other funny memes just around the internet because it was a complete schlacking.
Hey, I got two last things to say about Georgia and Carolina. And we can move on. One, I'm upset about my price pick deal on Stetson.
Because when I
mentioned it, he was at 295, and I said, okay, look, I think he's going to throw for a lot of yards. It's going to be around 270, 280. He was at 284.
Yep.
And it ended up being lower. And so, I don't know. I was kind of mad about that. And then
I'll describe that to you in a second. Go ahead.
Yeah. And if there's anything to say about UGA and a weakness of any kind, I think they need to have better stats running the football and kind of what they're doing running the football. I had a screenshot of their rushing. I thought I did. But Stetson, he had a total of 208 total rushing yards for the South Carolina game, which South Carolina gave up a ton of rushing yards against Arkansas the week before. Stetson was the leading rusher. with 36 yards.
So describe that for our listeners. When you're so dominant in a game like that, yeah. Is it important to be balanced, or is it like, hey, just take what they give you and we're not going to worry so much about the statistics? Like, I believe wholeheartedly, more than anybody probably, offensive success starts with creating a run game. So I understand where you're going with that, but is there a need when you're just doing whatever you want?
I think they should be more efficient running the football. And for me, when I look at a game like this and I see it's a blowout, to me, in the second half, you know you're going to be running the football a lot and running at the clock. So to me, the rushing stats should really pop here in a game like this when the score is the way it is.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because you're still having success running the football and you're still scoring points, but you're going to do it a slightly different way than you would normally do it because you're going to be more emphasis on running the football. Let's burn this clock. All right, hey, let's get out of here. Now, I have mentioned before about how I think how Kirby, the success that they're having on offense is because they're letting the offense roll to continue to roll and do what they're doing and the gameplay plays and so on and so forth. But Stetson's leading rusher with 36 yards, Edwards with 33, Kendall Milton with 10 carries for 32. Branson Robinson, he got 32 carry or 6 carries for 32 yards in the game. And then Carson Beck's up there. He had that long run.
Yeah.
So you got Stetson as a leading rusher with 36 yards. Carson had a 25 piece. Ladd McConkey had a 13 piece. Yep. And then Brock had a 5 piece. So you take those guys out. Really, our running backs running the football only had, I don't know, 120-ish to 140-ish yards, which isn't a lot in a game like that, in my opinion.
Would you consider the swing passes, it's not so much of a screen game, but it's more in the flats. That's an extension of the run game.
It is. It is an extension. And it doesn't show up in the
stats.
The dumb box score stats that you would see. So that's something to definitely take into account. And they're doing a lot more of that stuff. And that's, I think, what separate is the perimeter blocking and the schemes and what they're doing.
The
dumb pop pass to Brock versus the third string safety who had bad eyes there and went for 75, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's not showing up in that, but I do think it will come up in a big game where we need to run the football and it's going to kind of show what we got on offense.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fantastic point to bring up. And I love to hear you say that. That makes a lot of sense. So there will be a point when Georgia will be forced to run the football and how will they do it when they are, put in that box?
Yeah.
You know, number two, Kendall Milton right now, Jake, if I'm on defense and I see two in the game, I'm not necessarily that scared. I think Kenny is really running the ball really well. I love how Dejon Edwards runs the ball, athletic, physical, shifty. I see Kendall getting caught on a lot of shoestring tackles. I see him kind of getting bounced around and then going down to the ground. So would love him to maybe get a little bit more confidence running the ball, but that only happens with more and more repetition. So that's just, again, like if we're picking,
that's the only thing to be nitpicky about. And we have to give you the good and the bad. That was the only bad I had. So
there you go. Well, on the prize picks, my
conscience is clear.
Go ahead. On the prize picks, look, when you give out your bet the Fromm on it, those lines move, man. So if you hear it, you better get into your prize picks app immediately and place that entry because based on the action that's happening, it goes up, down, and around just like any other, daily fantasy site out there. So as soon as Jake gives it to you on a Thursday, get into your prize picks app and make that entry because you could have made some serious hay this past weekend, but it moved drastically, 295 all the way down to 270-something. And you saw it. You go, this is pretty high. I think he'll go under. And, of course, you were right at the time. So that's how Prize Picks continues to operate, just like any other daily fantasy operator. So we got to get in there and be very timely on the hashtag BetTheFrom on a QB entry of the week. Penn State 41, Auburn 12. Big yikes. We talked about it earlier. Auburn cannot turn the ball over like they have been. The penalties killing themselves. But on the flip side, Sean Clifford and that Penn State offense looked really good. The Penn State defense,
Penn State's running back looked really, really good. He had a very good game. Obviously, Tank did too. But just turnovers. You cannot have success in this league at high caliber football and lose the turnover margin.
I think turnovers
plagued everybody throughout this week. If you lose the turnover battle, your success rate to win a game just drops drastically.
Yeah. I would love to provide with Jake Fromm here, who has an SEC championship, a Rose Bowl championship, a Sugar Bowl championship, an NFL draft pick, done it all, seen it all. I'd love for you to expound and provide some groundbreaking insight, but don't turn the ball over, win third down, and have a balanced offense. You're going to win a lot of football games. Well, you know what I mean?
Kirby, when I played every week when we had a team meeting, coming back after the game, he would show you the SEC turnover margin,
yeah,
and who won and who lost, because it is that big a deal.
It's that simple. Yes, yeah. I know.
He'd be like, "Hey, look, here's all the guys who won the turnover battle. Oh, hey, look, they're highlighted in green. Oh, yeah, because that means they won."
Yeah,
and you'd always have one random anomaly as an SEC team versus, you know, let's say a UCF.
Yep.
You know, so to speak, where they lost the turnover battle but won the game because they have better football players. You'd have that one anomaly.
Better football players, and maybe they got a special teams touchdown or something like that. Yeah,
like
totally agree.
Pick six is another stat. If you have a pick six in a game, I mean, your success ratio is off the roof.
Yeah, it's special teams or defensive touchdown, your odds of winning go up like 86%. I mean, that's just the analytics of football. So, yes, I totally agree with you. Win third down, protect the football. Run the football. You're going to win. So Penn State did that. Auburn did not. And I think Brian Harsin's going to continue to have his feet put to the fire, especially with the uncertainty at the athletic director position at Auburn. So if you have some more insight on that, holler at us on social media at Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at From Jake. How about LSU taking care of business after a really, really slow start?
Slow start.
They wax Mississippi State in the second half, win 31-16, a big victory for Brian Kelly on the Bayou. I thought that was a good win for LSU.
Yeah, he needed it. LSU made adjustments. Mississippi State did not. Plain and simple. I'm mad I lost that one because I know that how you picked there. And man, at the beginning of the game, I'm like, man, I got this one in the bag.
I thought you did too. I was
Brian Kelly's getting fired next week. but no, they came back. You know, had some good plays and so to speak, but. They should win that football game.
Absolutely. So. That's why I like them. You know, a home dog. And I'm like checking social media during the first half, and it's like, fire Brian Kelly. I'm like, people, let's just chill for 2 seconds, okay? Yeah. Hold on 1 second. I don't know how he got off to such a rocky start with like the media and the fan base, but I think things are going to be just fine. I saw one of my buddies texted me, and he's texting me. He's like, if you look at Brian Kelly on the sidelines during an LSU game, it looks like he just does not want to be there. It's a funny fit of a personality in a very, very unique fan base, which is, of course, LSU. So we'll see if they can compound that into some more wins. But it was a huge SEC West win. I mean, in a first-year coach, you cannot take those for granted. So shout out to LSU. I was right against the spread on that one.
I was right.
You were wrong. We were both right, though, on Texas A&M laying 5.5 at home against Miami. Miami ranked number 13. A&M was still ranked 24 coming off that horrible loss to App State. And you're scratching your head going, well, why is Texas A&M ranked here? Sure enough, Max Johnson steps in, new quarterback, transfer from LSU.
Yep.
And they ran the ball. They protected the ball. A couple big special teams plays. Miami tried to make a game of it at the end, but Texas A&M's defense really stepped up.
Yeah. Great job from Max coming in. Did some really good things. Just put the ball out there in the playmakers' hands and let them play. Let them play football. That's what they do. They make plays, and Texas A&M made more plays than Miami did.
Yeah, you want to talk about some serious pressure. It's Jimbo Fisher. I mean, they made that quarterback change before the Miami game. Thankfully, it worked out.
Yeah.
We'll see how Texas A&M can continue to put pieces together throughout the season. Keep in mind, that loss to App State, I mean, it really does nothing. They're still undefeated in the SEC, so the entire season is right out in front of them. That SEC West gauntlet, though, I think those teams are going to beat up on each other all season long.
Especially Arkansas playing well right now. Which that was a little scary there to
start
with.
I know. Bad start. Bad start. Woo. You know, you mentioned, I mentioned to you App State being like maybe the most likable team. I think Arkansas is right up there too. I mean, Arkansas, how could you not love them?
I love that. Love that take. I'm all in on Arkansas. Love them. Pitt's the man. But maybe they were drinking a little Kool-Aid too and thought they'd just roll over Missouri State. But they ended up finishing business. It just didn't look as pretty as it should have.
Yeah. Big win for A&M. Big win at home in prime time on ESPN. All right, last thing, and this was our last pick. I was wrong. You were right. Oregon 41, BYU 20. Bo Nix showing what has made him a very kind of lightning rod type figure in college football. A huge win for Oregon. Yeah. And we talked about it. I mean, I know we both went to Georgia. It makes Georgia look even better because they just waxed the number 12 team in the country.
And it was 38-7 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They had 13 basically garbage points in the fourth quarter to kind of make it look a little better, but 38-7 in the fourth quarter, that's a beatdown.
Yeah. Bo Nix throwing the ball all over the yard. A couple of their highly touted recruits at wide receiver got some big plays as well. So great win for Coach Dan Lanning. You know, like first year coach, a lot of talent on the team, a big primetime game, 3:30 p.m. on Fox. So great job for Oregon. Great job for Coach Lanning and Bo Nix showing what makes him a special person in the world of college football. The Pac-12, man, I mean, I know USC looks good, but I think Oregon could go toe-to-toe with USC if they catch him on the right day, confuse Caleb Williams, and make it happen. So,
yeah, I think it just shows you that Lanning and the Ducks, they're not far off. This is not going to be a huge project. They're right there. Get a good one or two recruiting classes in, and maybe they'll be in the mix.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the games were – I think the games were actually maybe better than what the schedule had indicated heading into week three. Always pretty good action, but we got some really good games dialed up for week four, Jake. Notably in the SEC, Tennessee – hosting Florida. Florida's ranked number 20. Tennessee's 11. You know the history about that rivalry, and Tennessee's going to have to get a huge monkey off their back and kneel, and that'll be at 3:30 p.m. on CBS. Tennessee right now listed as a 10-point favorite. Think about that.
10-point favorite?
Yeah, over Florida. So that will be big time. Wisconsin takes on Ohio State, a game that I really like out in the Pac-12. Oregon at Washington State. Washington State's 3-0. Watch out for them. USC at Oregon State, okay? 9:30 p.m. in Corvallis. Half of that stadium, Jake, is under construction. I watched the game the other night. Half of the stadium is under construction. It's bizarre. One half of the football stadium is packed with fans. It will be such a unique atmosphere. Oregon State scored like 70 points last week. Their offense is highly powered right now. I know they're playing, you know, Sisters of the Blind, but watch out. I just think there's going to be some interesting matchups in week four.
Speaking of football stadiums being under construction, did you see the tweet that Troy Aikman sent out about Cal and having no fans?
UCLA, yes.
Oh, UCLA, yep, sorry. Yeah, UCLA, no fans. He's like, basically, it's time to scrap playing here. Let's go build a 30,000, you know, capacity stadium and actually pack something out and have the team play in front of something that looks better.
Yeah. For context, you bring up a great tweet. So a reporter tweeted out UCLA barely beat South Alabama. They beat them on a last second field goal in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. And there might've been 5,000 people in the stands. I mean, it was empty. And Troy Aikman, did Troy win the Heisman Trophy? I don't think he won the Heisman Trophy, but number one overall draft pick, I think. UCLA was ranked number one in the nation when Troy Aikman was there. He tweeted out and said, look, we were number one in the nation and couldn't fill out the Rose Bowl. It's time to build a 30 or 40,000 seat stadium in Westwood, closer to where the campus is, so students and alumni can go. LA, you get in your car, even if you switch parking lots, it's 20-minute drive. So for everybody to have to go to Pasadena, it's just nonsensical. He's essentially saying, if you want an answer, here is what you have to do. Now go do it. I agree with them. I just agree with them. Like, make it easy for the fans. Make it easy for the alumni. Pack the place out and create a good atmosphere.
Completely agree. I'm all on that. Just looking at some notable top 25. I believe they came out with it and switched up because Miami's at 25.
Talk to me. I haven't seen this yet.
UCLA. Oh, no, sorry. USC. USC at 7.
Okay.
Kentucky's at 8.
Really?
Kentucky's at 8.
All right. Tennessee's 11, Florida's 20.
Yep.
Okay. Are the Dogs unanimous number one? They have to be after what they just did.
Previous record.
Alabama has 3 first place votes and Ohio State has 1 first place vote. So Georgia 1, Bama 2, Ohio State 3, Michigan 4, Clemson 5. Who's Arkansas
the
dude,
who's the guy giving Ohio State a first place vote right now? After Buddy,
I do not know.
After they play Notre Dame, and that's just come on.
And Notre Dame just squeaks by Cal, and they're still ranked 25. I'm just kidding. That's my favorite joke. Because you think I'm
gosh, you, I know you get me every time on that. I'm like,
if you're watching on YouTube, no way, and you look at Jake Fromm stare at his computer when I just said that.
There's
so
no way.
Oh, awesome. You know what is believable though?
Tell me.
The absolute best experience for any jewelry store in the country, of course, if you head over to Salomon Brothers Jewelers. They've got the lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds, guaranteed the biggest selection, and the in-store experience that is completely unmatched. Lifetime diamond upgrades, custom jewelry designs. They are the best. Check them out on Twitter and Instagram, at Salomon Brothers, SalomonBrothers.com. It's for anyone with any budget, and it gets better if you mention Punt and Pass or myself or Jake. When you're in the store, you can get up to 10% off your jewelry purchase. The largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. That's Salomon Brothers Jewelers. Check them out, SalomonBrothers.com. All right, Jake, week three in the books, week four on deck. I'm looking forward to it, brother. We will be back with a great Thursday episode for everybody to preview some big-time action in the SEC. Follow us on social media, at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He is at From Jake, puntandpass.com. Jake, anything on the way out, my man?
Man, no, I'm excited. That Florida-Tennessee game is going to be a good one.
Yeah,
can't wait to watch it.
Think so too. I don't know where game day is headed, but it could be to Neyland, which would be a rocking.
Be rocking.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Good deal, everybody. We'll appreciate you tuning in. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Check us out on YouTube, and we will talk to you on Thursday. See you.
See you later.